I think another thing that really attracted me to Strive was when I heard the podcast. I have read Alan Carr over the years, and I really believe that philosophy. And I think that it was the philosophy that you talked about, as in it's not a willpower thing. You actually change your mind, and there's no value in alcohol. It's just what we've all been taught to believe. That was what probably was the kicker for me, that you were talking my language, and I believed what you were saying. I just couldn't make it stick at that point.
Welcome to the Alcohol Addiction Podcast. My name is Lee Davey. I am not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I'm someone that doesn't drink alcohol. And I spend every waking moment of my life helping other people do the same. Like right now, this is the Race Meet Trigger Part 3. If you've not listened to the Race Meet Trigger Part 1 and Part 2, go back and listen to it. If you ever watch a trilogy like Star Wars or something, you don't just go straight to Return of the Jedi, do you? You start at Star Wars A New Hope and you work your way through The Empire Strikes Back. Do the same here, please, otherwise it will not make sense to you. So stop listening straight away and go back and listen to the Rape Me's Trigger Part 1. If you are here after listening to those two parts, then let's just give you a little bit of a synopsis of what's been happening. So basically, these three podcast, this trilogy is actually evolved to give potential strivers, people who are thinking about joining Strive, a little insight into the work that we do on Strive so you can see whether it suits you or not. And essentially what happened is Kim is a striver from Australia. Kim has been with us at Strive, I think, since February 2018. And since then, Kim has created 1,703 posts on Strive, and she's read 10,943 posts, right? And one of the things that Kim is excellent at is when Kim feels a desire or a craving to have a drink, she goes into a category on Strive on our community forum called Triggers, and she answers 10 questions that I put there to help you get to the get to an understanding that there are rational and logical reasons why we shouldn't be drinking alcohol at that moment, at the time of drinking. There are rational, logical reasons why you should be. There are rational, logical reasons why you shouldn't be. And basically, Kim went and worked at a race meet as a volunteer for a volunteer organization. And she was working behind a bar, serving people alcohol. She wasn't triggered in any sense of the word, but at some point during the shift, she opened the fridge and seen a bottle of champagne and got triggered. She left because she felt triggered. She didn't drink then, but she drank a week later. So then she went on to Strive. She wrote in the category there, the Strive category, and answered the 10 bullet points. I then worked with her on that to narrow down her issue to this desire to fit in and this lack of belonging. And then what we did is we did a session with Strive coach Vinny, and Vinny then did some work on her trauma to heal her. And now she feels a completely different woman. She doesn't feel the need to fit in. She doesn't feel like she wants a drink. And that is what the Race Meet Trigger is all about. It's about letting you into that insight. And thank you very much for Kim for having the courage and the bravery and the vulnerability to allow us to do that, letting you into her world. And what you're going to get in this episode is I'm going to be joined by Kim and I'm going to be joined by Vinny. Kim's going to go through her whole process since joining Strive and how she ended up at this point, how she feels. And then Vinny's going to talk about the work that he did with Kim and how he healed her. And then, you know, this has been like a week since Vinny did the work with her. Kim's going to talk about how she feels now moving forward. I hope you really enjoy it. If you do want to join Strive and get into doing some of this work like Kim has, then go to www.thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and then you can sign up there. If you want to learn more about Strive before you join, then send me an email at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com and I will put you in touch with a few Strivers and maybe you can talk to them about the value they currently get out of working with Strive, and hopefully that will be enough for you to join. I really think that you should come on board. You know, we drink alone. You don't have to quit alone. You shouldn't quit alone. You need a support system, and we've got a really good one at Strive. So please, please, please give us a shot. If you don't like it, you can always get your money back. It's £40 a month. Join, pay the £40. If you hate it, we'll give you your money back. All right. So, boom, that's it. I'm going to shut up talking and leave you in the capable hands of Kim and Vinny for the Race Meet Trigger 3. Welcome to another episode of the Alcohol Addiction Podcast, the last in our trilogy, the Race Meet Trigger, which is far greater than the Star Wars trilogy, in my opinion, or any other trilogy you can think of. I'm joined here today by Kim and Vinny. How are you doing, Kim? How are you doing, Vinny?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
We'll jump straight into this because obviously people who are watching this now or listening to this have already previously watched or listened to the other two episodes. If you haven't, stop listening now and go back to the Race Meet Trigger 1 because none of this will make much sense to you. Kim, you might not know this, but since you joined Strive, you've created 1,703 posts and you've read, you've read 10,943 posts.
I was thinking I wasn't putting enough time in, so there you go.
that equates to six days of your life. So six whole days of your life has been spent on Strive. Let's hope that it's been very beneficial. Tell the people listening here, how did you first come across me and how did that then lead to you joining Strive?
I think I've been trying to stop drinking on my own for many years and probably definitely in the last two and a half years. And I've just found that it tried and failed and trying to do it on my own and being really quite secretive about it and feeling very alone. And then I just come across, I was searching for podcasts around alcohol when I was going on a trip, and I came across Lee Davey and I downloaded it and I listened to your podcast for a 6-hour drive. And by the time I got to the airport where I was going, I signed up. I thought, this is for me. This is something that I think can suits me. And I think it was because it was a forum and I wasn't doing it on my own. It made a, that was the thing.
Was you afraid of making the leap from listening to a podcast to joining a forum?
No, I wasn't. I think by that stage, I was really desperate. I had felt like I had failed so many times and I needed to find something that worked. So at that point, there was no question. It was just, I need to do this. And once I signed up, even though I hadn't been on Strive yet, just the relief of actually doing something, taking action was huge.
And you get there, What was the first thing you did, and can you remember your first thoughts? I mean, you've read 10,943 posts, so in those early posts, what did it feel like when you was there?
It felt like there was so much support. I read the posts, and at the beginning, it wasn't apparent that it was even a forum for people to stop drinking alcohol. There was so much other stuff that got discussed and so much support in other areas, just reading people's check-ins. And then when I posted my check-in and my introduction to say who I was, and I was just blown away by the support. And it was like, I've tapped into something here that I didn't even think was possible, because I suppose in the past I've been quite shy of, you know, forums and online and not knowing really how it all worked. But it was just instant belonging in that community. And I even found a couple of people who were from my state. So, it was great.
And you actually met up and had a live meeting, right?
Yeah, I did. I did. We had a live meeting with Glenys who is also from a cattle property, and she's not far away from me in Queensland context, so she's probably a 10-hour drive. She's relatively close, and we live very much a really similar lifestyle, and so that was finding her and realising that there was others struggling with the same thing and also struggling with the fact that she was living the same
lifestyle and challenges as I was really, really, it felt really good. Felt like, yeah, this is where I need to be.
And how have you been using Strive in the last year or so?
I've been using it daily. I've been using it as it just gets me grounded. So I try to check in daily. I love, you know, looking at other people's posts and responding to their posts. And when I don't get on for a couple of days, I feel like something is missing. I just need that grounding. And I've definitely, as you have said, I've definitely done a lot of posting in triggers. I find I'm quite an open person. I don't hold much back. And I've found that trigger section and being able to just get on, spew it all out and unpack it has made a huge difference. I mean, the check-ins are great, but unpacking those triggers is where, for me, the value has really, really been. That's where my growth has been, I think.
And talk a little bit about, before we go into triggers, talk a little bit about what's the most challenging aspect of being a member of a community like Strive?
It's hard when you have lapsed, when, you know, you go for a few months and then something happens and you lapse. Getting on and saying that you have lapsed and, you know, and kind of coming clean, I suppose, has been really, really challenging and something that at times I've put it off. But when I have put it off and thought, I'll just go along and I won't say anything, I can deal with that myself, it's a massive thing in the way. I think there's so much integrity on Strive, and if I'm not at integrity and I don't come clean with my fuck ups, can I swear on?
You can say what the fuck you like. Hello, we might spoil Vinny's tea.
Sorry. If I don't come clean and I'm out of integrity.
Not at all, my friend. That expression.
If I don't come clean, I can't participate. I find there's a big wall until I come clean. And when I do post in triggers and say what's happened, there's a lot of support, but there's also a lot of hard questions, and that's hard, that's confronting, because when you're in that space, you just want to get agreement and you want to get sympathy and you want to make yourself sort of be told and feel like it's okay, you know, you it's all acceptable and you can just move on, but there's stuff there that the value is in looking at the triggers and actually unpacking why and just delving into it more. So definitely those triggers and posting when I have lapsed and going through that has been really challenging but very rewarding as well.
I mean, for people listening, when Kim refers to checking in, we have a thread or, you know, a category within the forum called Checking In. And it's a safe place where people can, you know, explain what they did today. I watered the garden, I took the dog for a walk, whatever it is you did. And then also, and I think this is more important, but it's often missed, how am I feeling emotionally today? I'm feeling angry today, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling happy, I'm feeling joyful, and why that is, to spew that out of yourself and get it down on paper and to get that kind of, Strive's all about mutual empathy. There's a little bit of boot up the butt that goes on when needed by certain members, me being probably the prominent one. But there's some love there as well. But that's like the check-in section. That's where people go regularly. There's a help and guidance section because we don't want people to offer help and guidance when people are checking in. Very often people slip up with that rule, but in a nice way. And whenever I've seen it slip up in a bad way, I've always pulled people up on that. So if Kim comes and says, "I had a really bad day today because, you know, I fell out with this guy in work," she doesn't want someone to say, well, this is how you should sort that guy out. She just wants you to understand that she fell out with a guy at work. So we do have the help and guidance section where Kim, if she wanted to, can go in there and say, I'm having a problem with this guy at work. Does someone want to give me some help and guidance? And that's where people then can offer help and guidance. And then thirdly, we have the trigger section. And the trigger section is you've really starting to have some triggers to drink. You have a desire that leads to a craving and you want to drink. And then you drink or you don't drink because you use your tools not to. And we have like a 10, I can't even remember, it's like 10 or 12 questions, prompts that the person who's triggered answers. And then it allows her peer group to then ask more questions and poke and prod around the rationality and the logic around the thought process that is leading up to drinking. Okay. So that is kind of like what Kim's talking about. Kim, talk a little bit about the assignments that are available on Strive as well and how that has helped you.
So the assignments have been great. There's modules and it really goes in depth into how the brainwashing of alcohol works and how we have been basically trained from birth that drinking alcohol is a normal thing. And it really goes into why that's actually not right. And it allows you to analyze everything as far as what we've been taught and just weigh it up against what the reality is, because we don't think about these things when we go out into the world and everybody's drinking, and if you aren't, you're actually the odd one out. And it's not like that for any other drug. And in society, we don't even call it a drug. We call it drugs and alcohol. So getting that context and being able to really unpack just how it all works in our society and why it is so hard to just kick it with all of the beliefs around it has been great. There's in the intensive, there's 100 assignments and it goes into the belief system. And then in the last sort of, you know, quarter of the assignments is it goes into meaning and purpose and theme and looking at the life you actually want to live when you are someone that doesn't drink alcohol. And that has been really freeing. It's been really enjoyable. And yeah, it's just, I try to do an assignment a day because it just gets me, it puts me in a really good headspace, because I think that when you live in a world where all of the messaging is about alcohol and how normal and pleasurable it is, and you're trying to not drink alcohol, you need something to counteract that constant barrage of media and even friends and family and community who all think that it's normal and pleasurable. So it's just it's like I'm siphoning positive learning into my brain all the time on Strive. And the more I'm on it, the more learning I get and the more education. And it also, I think, changes your subconscious mind. It's very, when all of a sudden you don't have to try so hard to believe what you're learning on Strive. It just becomes, because of changing all your beliefs from birth, really. Yeah.
I mean, just to recap what Kim's been saying in the last 20 minutes. So she's been struggling with this whole alcohol addiction, alcoholism issue, trying to quit like many times and not finding a successful way to do that. And then she listens to our podcast, right? Now, there's a wealth of information on the podcast. I think, I don't know how many episodes there are, I've stopped counting now, but there's going to be close to 200, right? So, you know, check that out. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. This is free. You don't have to pay for it. Go check it out. There's a load of different people there. If you want to know about something specifically, then just send me an email at truthaboutalcohol@gmail.com and we'll point you in the right direction to possibly a good podcast for you. We will work at creating a curated space for you on the website. That's in the pipeline that will help you find what you want quicker, right? So she's listened to a podcast and she's listened to me warble on. And I think that's really important because she needs to trust somebody at this point. And I don't think she would have joined Strive had she not felt a connection with me. Is that right, Kim?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then there's a second part to that. It's not just a connection to me, but I can't be waffling a load of bullshit. So the philosophy has to stick, right? Kim, you have to think to yourself, well, I kind of like what he's saying. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think another thing that really attracted me to Strive was when I heard the podcast. I have read Alan Carr over the years, and I really believe that philosophy, and I think that it was the philosophy that you talked about, as in it's not a willpower thing. You actually change your mind, and there's no value in alcohol. It's just what we've all been taught to believe. That was what probably was the kicker for me, that you were talking my language, and I believed what you were saying. I just couldn't make it stick at that point.
So there was me thinking Kim only joined because of my devilish good looks and my my wonderful baritone voice. And then she goes and tells me it was because of Alan Carr. But there you are. So see, it's really important, though, that trust and that philosophy is super important, really, really important, right? And then after that, then she goes on to Strive. Now, what's happening now is she's transforming from being in a car or being in an isolated solo kind of situation to a peer group learning support system. And that's massive, right? It's just massive. If you want to learn to do anything in your life, right, overcome addiction to alcohol, learn to ride a horse, learn to type, learn to be a podcast host, it doesn't matter what it is. If you get involved in a peer group situation with other people who are like-minded, thinking about the same thing, got the same energy, some people are at different rungs of the ladder, so you're able to help the people who are a little bit below you, and you're also able to learn off the people a little bit above you, that is absolute gold, right? So Kim gets a Strive, and then she gets that support group. She then starts building relationships with more people that she can trust. She has a PM facility if she doesn't want to be too open on the forum. But the one thing about Strive is we want to make it uncomfortable, right? We want to make you comfortable with being uncomfortable, because that will help you lead a fulfilled life. And you need to understand that the reason you're drinking right now is because you're leading an unfulfilled life, right? That's what Strive's about. Strive is a lifetime gig. I'm hoping to be doing podcasts with Kim when we both got gray hair, we're in our little Zimmer frames, right? And we're talking about all the good we've done over the years helping all these people, because this is not just about giving up drinking alcohol, and you'll hear about that a little bit later on, right? Really important. So then she's checking in on a daily basis, right? So what's she doing? She's building a really good, solid habit. Now, if she's building a good, solid habit of checking in, and like I said, she's read 10,943 posts, 1,703 posts she's written. She spent 6 days on Strive. That's 6 days that she can't drink alcohol, right? That's 6 days that she can't pick a nose and eat a boogers. That's 6 days that she can't, I don't know, join an opium den or get shot up or whatever, right? It's a good habit. And there's no space to put a bad habit in there because it's occupied by a good habit. And then comes the trigger part, which I think is crucially important. And one of the most underused tools on Strive, sound like a broken record, I always say this. And the reason it is underused is because the resistance is strongest at this point in time when you know people are going to call you out. People are going to call bullshit to some of the things that you're thinking about. People are going to ask you some really complicated questions. Well, simple questions that you know when you answer them, you've got to call bullshit on yourself. And the resistance will be really strong because it won't want you to do that. And Kim has been really good at doing that. So going up to the race meet trigger, Kim was working for a volunteer group, which was really admirable and something that I really love about Strivers. A lot of Strivers do a lot of volunteer work for other people, and that's great. She was doing volunteer work, and they said, hey, come and work at this race meet and come and work at the bar, right? Kim's not thinking at all about drinking. She hasn't been triggered in a long time. She goes and she works at the bar. And then she's serving these people at the bar, and she opens up the fridge and she sees this bottle of champagne or sparkling wine or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, she has a trigger. Boom. Something happens, non-declarative memory kicks in, all the bubbles, the taste nice, the fancy dancy stuff with the champagne flutes and all that nonsense, right? And all of a sudden, she wants a drink. But because she's been on Strive a long time and because she's a kind of hardcore Striver, she realizes that something's not right. She makes her excuses and she leaves. But what happens when we have these triggers, if we're not kind of like filled these leaks that we have in our game plan, right, is it starts to slowly turn into a big kind of mess. Think about a little snowball starting at the top of a hill. Okay, so that little snowball was open in the fridge. And now after day five, day six, it's turned into a fucking rampant big bastard that's going to blow your fucking house down, right? Now Kim has a drink. Then she's like suffers from shame, guilt, all these kind of like anguish thoughts that she thinks about. And she really doesn't want to post on Strive. Why does she want to do that? You know, it's not the first time it's happened. She feels like a little bit of a dick. She just doesn't want to do it, right? But she fights through that because she does know that when she writes on there, she's going to get nothing but unconditional love and support, right? She writes on there, and this is where we get to the race meet trigger one, where I then respond back to Kim. And this is the challenging part. So Kim writes her 10 answers to the 10 posts. And then I ask her more questions, thorny questions. How does that feel, Kim, when you post something up there and I start blasting you with a machine gun of responses?
It feels very like I just want you to go away. And it's uncomfortable. I get angry. I get quite angry, and I actually convince myself you're on the wrong track a lot of the time because it's resistance. I don't want to answer these questions. And so there's a lot of that. And then I make myself answer the questions. That's the thing. Like if I don't walk away, because I know if I do, I probably won't come back. And, yeah, so I just make myself, but it's very uncomfortable and it's annoying and it makes me angry.
So folks, you can see why people wouldn't want to do it, right? Because if you're addicted to alcohol, your self-worth is pretty low. So, you know, if you've got someone like me coming along with my size 10 boots, asking a lot of questions you don't want to ask, it's going to be really super uncomfortable. Now, this is really important, okay? Kim said there, sometimes she thinks I'm on the wrong track. There will be loads of times I'm on the wrong track, by the way, right? Because I'm not an expert at this an expert is not the wrong word. I haven't got all the answers. And my style is not going to be to everyone's liking. I haven't had any kind of like super duper focused training on how to be the most empathic teacher in the world, right? I just look at someone's story and I think to myself, with the experience that I have around this issue and the philosophy that we create, that alcoholism is an invisible, violent, dominant belief system, that hang on a minute, this narrative doesn't seem to be right. So I'll ask, like, are you sure this is right? Could you expand a little bit deeper on this? And in doing that, I think we had about three exchanges, and it boiled down to feeling isolated, feeling different, needing to fit in. Basically, you were saying at the race meet, you know, I didn't want to be there. And of course, I'm asking, well, is it because you don't want to be at the race meet because there's alcohol there and you're worried you're going to drink, or you don't want to be around the people you're working with because they're boring the pants off you? Like, I think those questions are really important because it lasers in on the real issue. Like, am I okay with the beer, but I just don't want to be around these boring people? Or have I got a real issue when I'm around drinking, you know? So we nailed it down to not feeling like you're fitting in, which was leading to an unfulfilled life. We going back full circle, right? And I think what we've been missing in Strive up until this point is that would typically end there. You know, Kim would go away thinking, wow, yeah, I know what my problem is, right? My problem is that I have this issue of fitting in. But it would be difficult for me to spend more time with Kim one-on-one to go through that stuff because A, I'm not trained to do that. And B, I don't have the time. And what's happened since we changed to a monthly subscription service and we've, you know, just got a renewed focus, I guess, and got a smaller group of people, is we've got ambassadors now who are leading groups of people. So Kim's in Team Nikki. So Nikki now could work with Kim more individually on her issue, whereas before that might not have been picked up. But more importantly, we've now got Strive coaches. And we've got the likes of Vinny, we've got the likes of John, and I'm in negotiations to talk to other people to bring other experts on. And what we've got now is a healing mechanism. So we said that triggers is very much a rational, logical kind of tool that can work on some people. So I'm a very rational, logical guy. I can read Alan Carr's book and I can stop drinking and never drink again for 10 years, right? But not everybody's like me. Everybody's unique. Everybody's individual. And every problem is laced. Every problem is an emotional problem. And what we were missing was, okay, this issue that Kim has, she knows all the rationality. She knows all the logical thinking here about alcohol being an invisible, violent, dominant belief system. But she's struggling with this emotional aspect wherein I don't fit in. Like that's an emotional laden issue. So we bring Vinny on board. If you want to know more about Vinny, look up his podcast. Vinny was a podcast guest and you can learn more about him. And we brought Vinny on board as a coach. So as we're dealing with this trigger on triggers with Kim, it just makes sense to say, hey, Vinny, come in here. I think you could do some help here when you're with Kim. And I'll bring you in now, Vinny. When you first read that stream of dialogue, you know, what was going through your thoughts? Because that would have been the first time you'd read a trigger dialogue in that structure on Strive, right?
Yeah. Now, just so I can get more clarity, was that connected to the email I received, which was gave me an overview of what was going on, Kim?
Yeah, I think by the end of the dialogue with Lee and I, he suggested I send you an email and so that, I let him know what's going on.
Same thing, It was very clear to me from that email that you were ready to change. Now, what I mean by that is that you'd done a certain amount of exploration around the issue and was able to identify things like strategies and how it ran and triggers and things like that. You've done a lot of hard work, and I do remember saying to you, I don't know what you've done, but you are ready. Now, I realize since about the courses, I've looked at a lot of the trainings that Strive offers, and I can see, you know, it enabled me to understand more about the preparation work you've done through the training. So I knew that you were ready to let go of the emotion at that stage. You said something very significant. You said, it's a lens that I have. It's a way I see the world. It wasn't about blaming other people. You knew that it was the way you saw the world, and it was that had to change. So that's really being in a position where you were ready to take that next level up. And that's the emotional release that we did, the emotional release work.
Thank you, Vinny. So, Kim, we set up the group session. It was a group session, and I think there was me, you, Stella, and Vinny on the call, right? Right. So for people listening in, we have regular meetups online. We're trying to improve upon them, have them more geographically based. So have Australasian group meetings, North American group meetings, European group meetings as we grow. And they're varied in the way that we do that. But what Vinny does is Vinny offers two meetings a month at the moment. John offers two a month at the moment on anxiety and depression and stuff like that. And what we do is we like to have a group session, okay? So the one that with Kim went on was a group session. But if someone wants to pinch a session, I guess, to work individually with Vinny or John, because they don't want to blurt out their personal life to the world, then that is available too. And that is something that Vinny actually might be doing next week. He might be working personally with someone, and the rest of us will just have to wait until next week, right? That's just the way it is on Strive, right? But Kim very bravely, very courageously said, no, I'll come on a group call. And we recorded it. Me and Stella were on there, and we showed that internally, or we will show that internally to Strive members, right? Because it's very personal to Kim, but she trusts a Strive community. Just give us a recollection of how you was feeling leading up to the call, Kim, and then take us through what happened to you and how you were feeling by the end of it.
I think out of all the trigger conversations that we'd had, Lee, and what came out was one, I wasn't setting enough boundaries. Two, I was going through this journey sharing with Strive but not sharing with my family and friends and community just where I was at. And then the big one was the isolation, feeling like I just didn't belong. And I think we uncovered in the trigger discussions from the questions that you asked that that has been something that has been that I have felt for a really, really long time and probably not recognized it. Just I've had this feeling I don't belong. And so by the time I got to Vinny, I kind of knew that it wasn't anybody else who was going to fix that for me. I had to look at the way I was looking at the world and look at myself and why I had those feelings. So by the time I got to the call or to the video session, I just surrendered, I think, just to whatever was going to happen. I think that I was really comfortable with being open because I knew that it was going to benefit me and also benefit others. So yeah, it was fine. And Vinny just took me through. I closed my eyes and he took me through just going back to my past and where I had felt in my childhood and in my early years of adulthood where I felt like I didn't belong. And I could pinpoint a couple, and one was when I was about 12 and my parents were separating, divorcing, and I was sitting on a fence out in my yard. Remembered that one. And I also remember when I got married and I was 21 and desperate to find belonging. And Vinny was able to take me back to those two experiences and look at them and really and connect with those, with my younger selves and really look at just giving them compassion and talking to them and showing them love. And I was able to just bring them on board as part of me and accept them now as a 43-year-old. And I felt afterwards that I was just whole. It was like I had these younger versions of me that were running around doing their own thing and controlling who I was. And I didn't even realize it. I think that's the thing. There was no awareness that was even happening. And then once I went back and I could actually see them and talk to them and bring them in to me and make them part of me, that all just stopped. It was like I didn't just have no control over these. I felt like, yeah, and I think Vinny covered it. He said on the session that really the 12-year-old was dictating a lot of how I live my life and the decisions that I make and how I feel, and that's just not okay. And when I could show those younger versions of myself love and compassion and say to them, you did the best that you could at the time, it's not your fault, it just released something and I felt like I just had this, I was whole. And I think I also got with the biggest lesson I learned from that was that I don't belong to myself. I can't belong anywhere. It is all internal. And now that whole, after that session, it's like the belonging thing just isn't there anymore. It's just, I just feel happy. And I know I used to take a lot of it out of my husband and say, you know, I was quite resentful. And really quite, and I would withdraw a lot and disconnect to deal with that feeling of isolation. And now I feel that's just all gone. There's nothing there. I just feel happy and I just feel love. And there's no, you know, if something happens where I would normally go to, you know, withdraw and get really, really resentful, it just something will happen and I realize later, oh, gee, I'm over that. That's done. I haven't even thought about it again. So it was really, really great.
Vinny, I got a question for you. What you said that it was really good that when by the time Kim got you that she was ready to change. What if she wasn't?
I then have to get the person ready to change.
Right, right.
I will have to do the work, which just means it takes a little longer.
You wouldn't have kicked her back to stride then and said, "Hey, go back, do your assignments."
Not at all.
But that process is really important.
It's very important, yeah. The change is simple. The change is simple because we're creating our own experience. A lot of the time, we're stuck in the victim, so we're outside blaming everybody else, not realizing that we're recreating an emotion over and over again. We're recreating the same thoughts over and over again. You know, no matter how horrific these experiences are, and I'm really sorry people have to go through them, but each one of them happens only once. Just the ones. Now, to know they've even happened, we recreate them in our mind and body. When we think about them, our body believes that experience is real. It reacts in the conditioned way that it has learned to react. So we revisit the event and we play it over in the theater of our mind over and over again. And often we're stuck in the victim. So we're stuck in anger, blame, shame, and we don't realize that it's us. We're the one that's creating it. No matter how bad it was, we're the one creating our own pain. Kim was ready. She realized, she summarized that when she said, it's my lens, it's the way I see the world. There would have been a time for Kim when she'd have been outside of herself blaming other people. You can't clear when we're blaming others because our attention is in the wrong place. But when our attention is inside and we can take responsibility for what we're creating, it's like, right, this is easy. This is easy. No matter what it is, it's the same thing. The body's learned to respond to a thought in a particular way. That's it. No matter if it's the most horrific experiences of rape and abuse, it's just the same way. The body's learn to respond in a very specific way. The same chemicals are released as was released at the time of the horrible event that happened. It's all in here and it's all in here, which to me is wonderful. So none of us are victims, none of us, unless we believe we are.
So this morning I was going to the supermarket and I was listening to Sam Harris's Waking Up podcast. It was a question and answer episode. And Sam was talking about, in his view, I don't really put too much weight on having to dig into the past in order to fix our future. What I'm more concerned about, Sam Harris said, was what can I do today to change and then change the way I behave moving into the future? So my question to you, Vinny, is what should Kim be doing now and into the future?
Okay, the work's been done for Kim. Kim's integrated the child aspect of her, and it was also that pattern showed up when she was 21. The most important part of the pattern is always the younger time, the time when we were younger, when the pattern was formed. That pattern has been removed. So the child has grown up, and the 21-year-old has grown up inside of Kim. So when they were playing up, when that 11-year-old was being a child, bless it, was only doing what it could do, it hadn't had the experience of all of those positive memories and life experience that Kim had that disproved that she wasn't accepted. She had a lot of love in the community, a lot of friends, family, all that love around her. But the younger part of her wasn't getting access to that. So it continued to behave in the way it only knew how to, like a child that was in pain and not loved, feeling that she wasn't loved or accepted. So that's how that part of her behaved when she stepped into Kim's shoes. That would have happened at specific times when triggers would have triggered Kim. The adult steps out, the child steps in. The adult steps out, the 21-year-old steps in. And at some point, the 21-year-old or the child steps out and the adult steps in and says, like, oh, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Can't believe I said that. Can't believe I behaved like that. Can't believe I was so out of control. Well, because it wasn't the adult, it was a child that was out of control. So what I do, in a nutshell, we find the parts that are broken and damaged, that are broken away from the main personality, and did that for the survival of the personality. He broke away, hid behind a wall of shame. I need to get the person connected back, to get the love connection back with the child that was broken in that moment when he was traumatized with mom or dad or a neighbor or whomever. When that love connection was broken and it was traumatized and it broke off, we need to reconnect the love connection with it. And that's when we love it. We tell that part of us what it needs to hear. It always does. And that part has something to say back. We get that connection, get that love. And then at some point, it will choose. It will choose. That aspect will choose to integrate back into us. Cannot integrate it until it agrees. And once it integrates, then we flood it with the memories, is one of the processes I use. And it grows up inside of the person. It moves along the timeline that Kim moved along. So has those experiences, and it matures and develops. So all of those old patterns and responses that it had disappear, because it's no longer reacting as that child did when it was stuck in the pain, because it's grown up out of it. It has a complete shift in its perspective. It doesn't see the world in the same way. So any of the coping mechanisms that we use to keep all of that emotional stuff down, connected to the child, whatever they were, are not needed anymore in terms of that path. In terms of that specific pattern, they're not needed anymore to keep it down, because that beautiful child has now been integrated and grown up.
Okay.
It can still be accessed at any age, but in terms of its responses and its knowledge and its experience, it's had the full scope of Kim's life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it now knows that it's loved.
But the growth continues. So
growth will continue with Kim. Just to add one little piece to it. If we push, if that pattern isn't addressed, and we push forwards with positivity, we're reading positive books, we're plugging into positive information, it's very difficult to sustain that because the force that's pulling us back. And what that is the emotional stuff coming up that's connected to the aspect that's broken away. We end up with a veneer of positivity, but underneath it is the emotional stuff.
Yeah.
So it's when we clear it, it's effortless. And it should be effortless, because our true state is effortless. Just to be able to connect with others, connect with ourselves, to be, you know.
It's almost like, Kim, you're working on like theme and, you know, having a good look at kind of like what you want to do next with your life, you know, that type of stuff. And if we hadn't done this work, it would be very likely that it would be a 12-year-old girl making those decisions or trying to carve that path out, right?
Yeah, I think there's definitely been periods in my life where I have been so desperate to find belonging that I have found something that I'm passionate about and done it just at the cost of everything else, just on this quest to belong. And I think we uncovered in the session with Vinny that was actually probably the 12-year-old girl dictating that. And I think now that I'm doing my assignments and looking at theme and meaning and purpose and what I want to do with my life, and it's definitely, there's a different feel to it than before the session. It's like there's no limitations now. I'm not looking at it as if, but I can't do that because that's going to, there's just no restrictions. I think I've been so mindful that I don't want to take on a new project or passion or even vocation, because I don't want what happened before, where I pursued things to the cost of my family and friends and my well-being. I didn't want that to happen again. But now that I realise, well, that was actually not me, that was that 12-year-old girl, I can look at it in a really different way now. And what seems what seemed impossible before that session actually seems possible now, because I can look at it in a way of, well, I can do this. I just need to have balance, and I'm running this show, not the 12-year-old. And so it just, things have become possible, and it's definitely, there's a lot of freedom now in looking at my future, and there's just no fear anymore. And even if it doesn't, even if I say I'm going to write a best-selling novel and I don't do it, then I'm still, there's no fear in saying, well, that's what I'm going to do, that's what I want to do. And it's just not, I'm not just not doing it because of the wrong reasons, not committing to it because of the wrong reasons.
I just thought of another added bonus of this work, actually. Yesterday, I upset Liza because I challenged her authority as a parent in front of our daughter. It was only like a very, very quick 20-second thing, but it really, really hurt her feelings. And then she stomped off. And then she said, I'm going out, which is like a good thing to do. And then she came back and I tried talking to her and she just walked past me and ignored me. And then in my head, I'm like, childish, you know, and I'm going, she's so childish. And I'm just about to pull her on being childish. When in my head, I was like, oh, this is not 44-year-old Liza. This is, I don't know, 12-year-old, 8-year-old, 6-year-old Liza. And then I can have empathy because her child's out. And how would I deal with a child right now? I'm just going to let her have her space. And then when she's calmed down, I'll go and apologize to her. And as I was thinking in my head about my apology, I kept thinking of the first things that kept coming up all the time were defenses. Well, she did this and she did that. And I had to keep telling myself, no, Lee, you've got to apologize wholeheartedly and you've got to accept your responsibility, your personal responsibility. And I don't think you can do that if you're this 12-year-old girl, right? I mean, you could probably now see your husband or even your kids in a different light now.
Mm, yeah, there's definitely, it's not loaded. Especially, I mean, my kids are probably not them so much, but definitely my husband, I'm not as resentful I'm not resentful at all, and it's not loaded. And I suppose that knock-on effect is my kids don't see me behaving like that to my husband. So it's just it's just a happy all round.
And how do you feel now after the whole project? It's been a week. How do you feel?
I feel great. Yeah, I feel really good. I feel free. I feel whole. I feel confident and I feel secure. It's definitely been a monumental change in my life. And now that I have that knowledge and that we've done that work, if I feel that these feelings are coming up again, I know what they are. And so I feel like I can handle them in a way that I just couldn't before because I wasn't aware.
And so Vinny, Vinny, do you want to say anything else, Vinny, before I end the episode this week?
Only that I'm very happy at the outcome, and this is what the work's about, deep change.
And I just want to say thank you to both, but especially to Kim. Without your bravery and your courageous, we wouldn't be able to help other people in the world. And this isn't for everybody, and we don't expect everybody at Strive to be an open book, you know. I do challenge people to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, but not everybody has to jump on a podcast and talk about their 12-year-old self. Don't worry about that. But Kim, thanks for everything you do at Strive. I really, really appreciate and value you there. And Vinny, it's great to have you on board. Take care, folks. And there will be no Race Meet Trigger part 4. We're done and dusted. Boom.
Bye-bye, Kim. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks as always for listening and being a subscriber here at the Alcon Addiction Podcast. I really, really appreciate it. And if you appreciate me and the other Strivers and the work that we're doing to make a difference in the world, then this is how you can help us out. First of all, you can rate and review our podcast on your podcast platform. give us a 5-star review, tell us how, you know, what you think of it and how you like it, etc., etc. And if you don't like it, you could trash it as well. That's pretty fine as far as I'm concerned. You could also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Every single podcast, no, that's not true, 99.9% of our podcasts are also recorded on video, and we post a video on our YouTube channel. If you prefer to watch rather than listen, then Google Lee Davey YouTube, and that is Lee Davey spelled L-E-E-D-A-V-Y, and you'll find our YouTube channel, and you can subscribe right there. You can also subscribe to our Instagram channel, and you'll find little snippets of our podcast on there. You'll also find any blog posts that I write on the Instagram channel. Just Google The Truth About Alcohol Instagram, and you'll find us there. The most important thing you could do is join Strive. Strive is £40 a month. Once you join, if you don't like it, I can give you your money back, okay? Anytime you want to stop, you just stop, and you don't have to pay anymore. So really, it's a really fluid way of paying for our services or not paying for our services, right? What you get more than 100 coaching videos. You get put into a group, so you'll be Strive ambassador-led groups, so you can get more of a personal touch. You'll also get healing from our Strive coaches. So we've got a couple of Strive coaches up there, and we're always continually filling more slots with more Strive coaches to actually work on some of the issues you've got at a deeper level. We have live, we have online meetings. We also, the most important thing is we are a support group of like-minded people with shared empathy and trust. So get over to Strive. As I'm always repeating myself here, you do drink alone, but you should not be trying to stop alone. Strive is a really, really important component in for anyone who's trying to be someone who doesn't drink alcohol. And Strive is much more than a place for people who want to stop drinking alcohol. We are a community of friends. We are a growth community. You know, we're like, most people drink alcohol because they're leading an unfulfilled life. How do you fulfill your life? Well, that's what we do at Strive. We help each other. We're in the same trenches as each other, and we really try to help each other grow and evolve. And the freedom module, the last part of the intensive module, which you get for free when you join Strive, that's all about finding that fulfilled life. I would say Strive is a lifetime gig. Yeah, you can leave whenever you want and get your £40 a month back, but this is a lifetime gig. This is where we work together as a group to help other people and to help improve ourselves. So head over to www.thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and join Strive. If you like this podcast, then also check out our second podcast, the Strive Podcast, where we interview influential and successful people in a bid to inspire our strivers to lead a fulfilling life. You can find the Strive Podcast on our YouTube channel and in all the best podcast platforms, right? Finally, if you've got a question, email me at thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk. Email me at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com. And if you've got any questions whatsoever, you can nail them to me there. And if you want to speak to any striver to ask them what it's like on Strive, then let me know in that email and I'll put you in touch with them and they can have a chat with you about it. Thank you very much for your support. As always, I really appreciate it. Without you, there would be no Alcohol and Digital Podcast. So thank you.